share on it. Okay. So we're starting on today's daf is Yud Dalet. We're going to start on Yud Gimel Amud Bet at the two dots of Smichat Zkenim. It's about a third of the way from the top of the page. Refuot Shleimot for the week for David Avraham Ben Miriam Orli Pnina Bat Rachel Fridi Yalmir Bat Chaya Daphna Chaya Bat Sari Lana Mir Bat Dina Reza Bat Pesha Rafael Aviv Rachamim Ben Zippor Yeshua Dan Ben Naomi Roni Bat Sara Avahu Amuna Bat Chava Michal Bat Esther Miriam Lilo Nishmada Rav Tzvi Chaim Ben Leah Etel Ben Moshe Chaim Ben Ahu. Okay, Smichat Zakenim. So now we're going to continue back in the Mishnah, all the cases that we were talking about that need certain amounts. So Smichat Zakenim. Tana Rabbanam, V'samchu Ziknei. Okay, it says, V'samchu Ziknei, the Ziknei ha, I forget now, I'm confusing, Ziknei ha'eda, eti dehem al rosh ha'par. This is the par, if you remember that if the they make a mistake in the teaching, so they all have to bring up, the Zkenim have to bring a par, l'chaper, right? They taught the wrong halacha to people, and people made a mistake based on it. So they have to bring it l'fnei Hashem, v'shachat et par l'fnei Hashem. So they do smicha. So smicha Zkenim, let's just go back to the Mishnah for a quick minute. Okay, Mishnah, remember, it's easy to find. It's on the very first page. Okay, so we had smichat Zkenim, v'arifat egla b'shlosha, divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha. So now we're going to figure out, both with Smichat Zkenim, and then we're going to get to Egla Rufa, and say, why is our machloket shlosha and chamisha? So, again, these sugyot are a little troublesome, because what they're doing is drashot on psukim, and that's their whole theory as to why, when obviously there was something more behind it. They just don't really discuss it here as to what really motivated them. It seems like a very nitpicky, oh, well, this word, that word, blah, blah, blah. But again, I always like to look at these in the sense that they had a shita and they just tried to connect it back to the psukim, and it's going to be one of those ping-pongs. Well, if he says that, then what does he do with those words, and what does he do with those words? Tana Rabbanam, Samchu Ziknei Haida. Yachol Ziknei Ashuk. You might have thought Ziknei Ashuk, like regular Zkenim, okay? Meaning not ones, it could be elders that are intelligent, but not ones that sit on the Sanhedrin. Talmud Lamar Eda. That's why it says Eda. Eda comes to teach you, you need Sanhedrin, you need three. E Eda and three Dayanim, right? Dayanim Mumchim, basically. E Eda, Yachol Ktane Eda. You might have thought regular judges. Talmud Lamar Ha'eda Miyuchadin Sheba'eda. Now they learn that it's not just three mumchim; it has to be three people that are taken from the Sanhedrin Agdola. V'kamahen, and how many of these do you need? V'samchu is plural, so what do you learn from there? Shnayim. Skene is plural, so what do you learn? Another shnayim. Right, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Ve'ein Beitin Shakul, and you can't have an even number. So mosifin aleim od echad. Harei kan chamisha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ziknei Shnayim, you just have Zkenei Shnayim, Ve'en Beitin Shakum, Mosifin Aleim Odechad, Arekan Shlosha. He doesn't darshan Vissamchu to include another two. So now, Rabbi Shimon, Hakti Vissamchu, what do you do with that? He says, Ha'umabayale Legufe, you need that for the context, you need to know that you have to do Smicha on the Rosh HaPar. For Rabbi Yehuda, Legufe Lo Tzarech, so what, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need the word Vissamchu? Din Ken, Deloate v'samchu l'drasha lichtov ziknei ha'eda yidehem al rosh hapar. It's a little strange to say this, but he thinks that you could write ziknei ha'eda, they put their hands on rosh, right? Yidehem, their hands on the rosh hapar without saying the word v'samchu, and it would be obvious they have to do smicha, right? That you place your hands on the head of the animal. That would be obvious. You wouldn't need to say it. So therefore, he says that the v'samchu is extra to darshan too. Rabbi Shimon says you need it. So now they're going to go back to Rabbi Shimon. Like I said, the ping pong. Rabbi Shimon, iktiv hachi. What if it just said yidehem al rosh hapar? Why wouldn't that have been enough? And why can't you say, right, this v'samchu is extra to teach another two dayanim? Hava amina, my al. What does it mean, yidehem al rosh hapar? Al doesn't necessarily mean on top of. It could mean b'samuch, next to. Not exactly clear why he thinks that. Again, that's why I said this is really, it's a little bit of a kvetch because they're just trying to find it in the words, but really they obviously have something more behind them as to why they thought three or five. V'Rabbi Yehuda Gamar Rosh Rosh Me'ola. So now, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that it would have been clear Yidehem al Rosh HaPar that it meant on the Rosh HaPar? Because he has Gzeira Shava from Rosh here and Rosh in the Korban Ola, and there it's clear that the smicha is on the head, and therefore they have to do it on, and it's obvious, and you wouldn't need the word v'samchu to teach you that. So, Rabbi Shimon, lo gama rosh rosh me'ola. And that's going to end our discussion. He just doesn't have that gzeira shava. If you remember gzeira shava, either you learn it from your rabbi or you didn't learn it. He doesn't have such a gzeira shava that we can learn from here to the ola. And therefore, he needed the v'samchu to teach you that has to be on top. And therefore, v'samchu wasn't free to teach you the extra two. And therefore, he only has three dayanim as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who has five. Okay, that was all, right? We're going to have more like this today. Smicha Tana. There's another braita that says Smicha u'smichatz kenim b'shlosha. So now we said Smichatz kenim is you put the hands on the Rosh HaPar, right? That's what we're talking about. And that has to be done either b'shlosha or b'chamisha. What about Smicha? Well, there's another type of Smicha. So my Smicha, what is this? If we have Smicha u'smichatz kenim, obviously these are two different things. So my Smicha or my Smichatz kenim, Amar b'yachana mismach sabe. That means to give Smicha to a rabbi, okay? To an elder, to give him Smicha. And how do we know you need to do this with three? With Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Where do we see smicha in the Torah when it comes to a leader? Moshe puts his hands on Yoshua. Okay? So, but if you want to learn it from Moshe, it should be enough, just one. Because Moshe did it, he was one. If you want to say, well, Moshe was kind of in place of 71, because he functioned like the Sanhedrin Agdola, then, right, then you would need 71. So either you're going to say one is enough for Moshe, or you're going to say, no, Moshe's worth more than one, but then you're going to get to 71 if you're going to say that. And so how do you get to three? The Gemara answers Kashya. Okay, when it says Kashya, it means when it says Tiyuvta, it means there's really no answer. When it says Kashya, it means, well, we could come up with some answer. The Gemara ends it, but you really could come up with some answer. One of the answers somebody gives is, well, you know, we could say Moshe was functioning like three in this context, you know. Okay, anyway, there's a few other possible answers. Amalei Rav Acha Berei Derava LeRav Ashi. B'yada Mamish Samchin Alei? Do they literally, when they do smicha, I don't know if you've ever been to a smicha ceremony, right? Do they put their hands on the person's head, right? It's unlikely any of us have ever been. Do they put their hands on someone's head? So he says, no, Amar le samchin le b'shma. You give him a name. In other words, that's what it means, smicha. Kare le Rebbe. You call him Rebbe. And now there's a difference of opinion about whether this is also something you have to say or it just is what, by calling him Rebbe, this comes out of it. V'yave reshuta lemeidan dine knasot. And you give him reshut to be dan dine knasot, fines. We talked about this already, that in Bavel, they didn't get smicha, and as a result, they couldn't judge dine knasot in Bavel. Okay, anyone who didn't have smicha from Eretz Yisrael couldn't judge dine knasot. Okay, which, mamonot. Mamonot is, you owe money to someone. Knasot is, well, you owe kefel, because you stole, or you owe, so it's the double payment, right? It's the extra. It's not what you owe, it's what you have to pay a penalty of, so because we're punishing you. So in Bavel, they couldn't judge it. I mean, maybe there were ways that they came about it, and there were chachamim very strong, maybe they judged them in Bavel, but bikaron, dine knasot didn't happen as much in Bavel. That's why we had a big nafkamina when we talked about I think it's with the Shor Yisakel, and then he pays his way out, and is it knas or is it mamon? We just talked about this, right? When you have to, when the owner of the shor really should pay, if the shor killed, really should get killed, if the shor killed someone, but instead, im kofar yushatala, right? He could pay his way out. And then the question is he paying a payment, or is it a knas? And it's very relevant, because if you can't do it in Bavel, then you can't be mechayev that kind of payment. V'chad lo samich, can one person not be somech another person? And here's a funny story we're going to hear. Vahamar of Yehuda Amar Rav. I wouldn't say funny, but it's a little similar to the story we saw the other day about the Romans, and they had all this code language. So here was another kind of way they were trying to evade the Romans. Zachor Toa Ish Latov. This one guy is known, Latov. Who is this? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shma. Shil Malehu Nishtakhu Dinei Knesom Yisrael. If it weren't for him, all the Dinei Knesom would have been forgotten. So they say, what do you mean, nishtakhu, nigrasinhu? They could relearn them if everyone forgot them, so they reteach them. So then they say, no, ela bitlu dine knasot Yisrael. They would have been canceled out. No one would have been able to judge dine knasot. Why is this? Shepam acha gazra machut harisha'a gzeira Yisrael. It's good that we're learning all this stuff in the 9 days, right, leading up to Tisha B'Av. So the Romans made a gzeira in Yisrael. Shekol ha-somech yehareg. Anyone who gives smicha will be killed. Anyone who gets smicha will be killed. In a city where they do smicha will be destroyed. And areas will be uprooted. So, Me'asar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Halach v'yashav lo ben shnei harim gedolim, u'ben shnei ayarot gedolot, u'ben shnei tchumei Shabbat, ben usha l'shefaram. Okay, between these two cities in the Galil, he basically went in between mountains. He went to places where weren't considered in the tchum of anything, right? It was this little valley in between, maybe, or something like that, where basically they couldn't kill a city, they couldn't, right? They couldn't destroy a city, they couldn't destroy a tchum, they couldn't anything. And the assumption is maybe no one would know. He's, you know, they're in between these two mountains in the middle of nowhere, right? You ever go on those hikes? You know, there's nobody around, okay? So, what did he do? V'samach sham chamishaz kenim ve'eluhen. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shima, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar ben Shmoa. Okay, so he gave smicha to the following five rabbis. And he basically saved, right, Dine Knesso. Rav Avia Mosif af Rabbi Nechemia. Okay, he added, there was even Rabbi Nechemia he did. Kevan shi ikiru, in other words, he was also got smicha there. Kevan shi ikiru oivehem bahem. Somehow, though, they got found out. Amar lahem banai rutsu. He said to them that he was obviously older than them. So he says to them, guys, you run. Amru lo, Rebbe, mate alecha, what's going to be with you? You can't run, you're too old. Amar lahem, hareini mutalif nehen ke'evin she'en lahavchim. Okay, I'm like them, like a rock. I'm going to be before the Romans like a rock that can't be turned over. In other words, I can't move, I can't run. I'm not, how he got there in the first place, I have no idea. They obviously didn't drop him in by helicopter, right? So anyway, he basically says, Emala, so you guys at least save your lives. So, Amru, Lozazu Misham Adshina Tsubo Shloshmeot Lunbiot. Okay, so Lunbiot Shel Barzel Vasu Kikvara. Okay, he basically got shot with 300 spears, and until he was basically like a sieve, right, with all the holes in it. Okay, they basically shot him with arrows or spears. Rabbi Yehuda ben, so now what's the issue? Why did we bring this up? It's clear that who gave smicha here? One person. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, they don't answer Shahed Chak is different, right? This was, we had a difficult situation, and he just did it anyway. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Achri Nehavu Bahadeh, he obviously had two other people with him. Bahai Delo Chashiv Luhu, why did they mention them? Mishum Kvodo, to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. In other words, he took, right, he took the blame for it already, he got killed for it, and also it was his initiative. So he got the credit, but obviously there were another two people with him. Now the Mefreshim go off about this, about do you need three Talmidei Chachamim to do smicha, or do you need one Talmid Chacham, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and two regular people. So some people say, based on this story, it seems you just need two regular people, because that's why they weren't mentioned. If they were Talmidei Chachamim, they would have been mentioned also. But other people say, no, it could be it was Talmidei Chachamim, just lower level than he was, and therefore, okay?
Or how about he didn't want them to get killed?
So he didn't bring anybody with him, and he did it by himself. But
or,
if you can't,
no, he just didn't say their names.
He didn't say their names. That seems like the most logical thing.
Yeah, except that they found them. It wasn't like if we had mentioned them by name in the story, it's not like that. Then they would have gotten killed because they were mentioned by name.
They
all the other
while
rabbis
they were actually doing it.
It sounds like it. Well, it sounds like one of those cases where there was an informer.
Then he had a built-in system. He took two out of the five rabbis. He took two.
He could have used those two. Well, again, the question is, could you use someone who's not even a rabbi yet to be it? Right. That's where it all gets into, right? That's a good it's a good explanation of the story, that he just used two of the other people, which proves that you just need any two people. That's a good proof for a good way to read that story. It does sound like he was the only one willing to go out to bat. Nobody was really with him. So, okay.
Also, just... Yeah. The location between Usha and Shefaram, he had to know that they were going to be found out.
Why?
Because those are places where the Sanhedrin went to after.
So you think they'd be looking there? They'd be very careful in those areas.
Maybe
right.
Getting right. You from the results.
Yeah. Right. Right. It could be he just felt this is a last ditch effort, and he was willing to risk his life for it, which he did, according to the story. Okay. Now they ask another kind of side question on the story. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Samche? Really? Rabbi Meir was got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? Right? This is classic, right? We know who gave who smicha. Baha, Amar Rabbi Bar Bachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kolomir Rabbi Meir, Lo Samchu Rabbi Akiva, Eino El Atoe. Whoever says that Rabbi Akiva wasn't the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Meir is mistaken. Now, why anyone would say this, obviously there were some different versions going around, right? Otherwise, it would have just said, oh, we heard that Rabbi Meir got smicha from Rabbi Akiva. But here it says, anyone who says that it wasn't Rabbi Akiva who gave it to him is making a mistake. So what do they answer? Ah, Samche Rabbi Akiva v'lo kiblu. Samche Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava v'kiblu. What do they assume? That Rabbi Meir got smicha from Rabbi Akiva when he was very young. And he was too young that nobody really accepted the smicha. They said, this can't possibly be. And that was this version of the story that Rabbi Meir was so young and so brilliant that he got smicha probably before age 18, you know, and everyone said, oh, you can't have a rabbi younger than that, right? Remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the 18-year-old who's such a young, right? I mean, he was a rabbi anyway. It was interesting, right? He also was a rabbi at 18 and became even the head of the Beit Midrash. So even, you know, but anyway, that's what they say. So that's their answer to this question. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, here we have it, explicit. We've talked about this many times, but now we see it inside. You can't do smicha in chutz la'aretz. So my ein smicha, ilema de lo dine dine knaso klal b'chutz la'aretz. If you say you can't have dine knasot at all in chutz la'aretz, okay, that's what we were saying, right? That you can't ever do dine knasot. V'hat nan, sanedrin no haget, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. You can have a sanedrin in chutz la'aretz. So if you can have a sanedrin in chutz la'aretz, clearly you can don dine knasot. So ela de lo samchinam b'chutz la'aretz. So now we learn, this is the answer to our question. You can do smicha, you can't do smicha in chutz la'aretz, but if you have a sanhedrin full of rabbis who had smicha from Eretz Yisrael, then they can don dine knasot. So again, there were always people from Eretz Yisrael in Bavel, but it wasn't the most common of things, right? You still didn't have it all the time and everywhere and in every generation. Pshita somchim b'chutz la'aretz v'nismachim ba'aretz ha'amrin andelo. Clearly, if you want to be somech in chutz la'aretz, two people who are in Eretz Yisrael, you want to give smicha from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, clearly you can't do it. Ela somchim be'eretz Yisrael v'nismachim b'chutz la'aretz, but if the people who are giving the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael and they want to give smicha merachok, right? You've seen these people where, you know, oh, you can communicate, do a test, and get smicha from afar. You know, most people won't give smicha really from without knowing the person. But imagine someone's in Eretz Yisrael, wants to give smicha to someone in Bavel. They send a letter saying, "I am somech this so and so person." Okay, can you do that? Okay, or does the smicha itself have to happen in Israel? What?
Mail order degrees.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so can you do that? Lots of place. Hamrinan hulana. Tashma, let's learn from here. De Rabbi Yochanan have a mitzta'er alav de Rav Shemin bar Abba de lo have a gabayu de lismche. Rabbi Yochanan was very unhappy that he couldn't somehow manage to give smicha to Rav Shemin bar Abba. He kept trying, and every time he tried, something happened, and he couldn't do it. Rabbi Shima, so there you see that what? If he could do it from afar, he would have done it from afar. Obviously, Rav Shemin bar Abba couldn't get to where he needed to get to, and, to where Rabbi Yochanan was, they could never end up in the same place, and therefore he couldn't. And another story, Rabbi Shimon ben Zerud, v'chad di'imei, him and someone who was with him, and Manu, who is that one who was with him? Rabbi Yonatan ben Achmai, and just like we've seen this structure before, we're going to see it the same way. But Amrele, and some people said it was Rabbi Yonatan ben Achmai, and somebody, v'chad di'imei, and one person with him, and Manu, who was that? Rabbi Shimon ben Zerud. In other words, everyone agrees it was the same two people, just a matter of who they knew for sure and who they kind of figured out later. Okay, the one, there were these two guys, and the one who was next to the rabbi who could do the smicha got smicha, and the one who wasn't couldn't get smicha. Okay, so there you see, you can't do smicha from afar. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yoshaya have come shtaked. Rabbi Yochanan lemismichinu. So Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yoshaya, Rabbi Yochanan was trying to give him smicha. Lo have a mistaya milta. He couldn't do it. Have a kamid star tubi. He was very upset. Amrule, they said to him, Lo nitzar man, da'ana midbeit eli ka'atinan. Don't be upset, because those guys, they said to him, don't be so upset you couldn't give him smicha, because he's from the house of Eli. Okay, now what's at the house of Eli? Da'amar shomar bar nachman, amar rabbi yonatan, minayin she'enis machin lebeit Eli. Okay, we've seen this before about Beit Eli, that they were cut off, or they were things about them. Now we're going to say, what's wrong with Beit Eli? They also can't get smicha. How do you know that they can't get smicha? Shne'emar lo yezakein bebeitecha kol hayamim. You can't have a zakein in your house all the days. My zakein. Ilem a zakein mamash. If you want to say it means no one's going to live a long life in his family. They're all going to die young. V'haktiv, it already says by Eli, kol marbit beitcha yamutu anashim. Right? All the people are going to die, young men, basically. They're not going to live a long life. So it already says that. So if it says there aren't going to be zakein bebeitecha, it must mean ela smicha. So therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan couldn't give smicha to this guy, they said, don't worry, he's from Beit Eli anyway, and he really shouldn't be getting smicha. Because, right, it's interesting, when you take a curse, are you supposed to make that curse, make sure that curse is fulfilled? Right? Is it a curse that this will never happen, or is it a curse that
you can never let it
happen? You shouldn't let it happen. So should he have not given him smicha, or are they just saying maybe the reason why it's not working out is because there's this curse on them, and you weren't ever really supposed to get they weren't supposed to get smicha anyway. Rabbi Zera have a mitamar lemismicha. He was hiding from getting smicha. He didn't want to get smicha, basically. Okay? Why? Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, this is a great line. La'olam havekavel v'kayam. You should always be obscure and remain alive. In other words, stay out of the spotlight. Okay? Don't try to get smicha and be great. And right, this is a constant struggle, right? What we're going to talk about is the struggle between, on the one hand, power, which can be damaging, right? It can go take you to bad places. So you should just stay who you are, pashut. Don't try to look for smicha. But Kevan Deshama Laha, first of all, you know he's Rabbi Zera. He obviously did get smicha in the end because he's called Rabbi. Remember, if you get smicha, you're called Rabbi. Kevan Deshama Laha Da Amar Rabbi Elazar Ein Adam Ole L'Gdula Elim Ke Mochalin Lo Al Kol Avonotav Im Sele Anashe. It's interesting what motivated him. What he learned was that if you become a person of greatness, like a king, a Kohen Gadol, a rabbi, what happens? When you take on that position, your avonot are nimchalim. You basically start with a clean slate. And therefore, right, and you see here, why were they saying that? Probably to encourage people to go into it, right? It's a constant, right? The people shirk from responsibility. They don't want the responsibility. It's a public figure. You don't want people complaining about you. There's this constant struggle. On the one hand, you don't want it, right? And also, it leads to corruption often. On the other hand, there has to be some encouragement to have people go into the field. You need leaders. And therefore, in the end, he was encouraged by that. Ki samchuhu l'Rebbe Zera. So when he got smicha, now we're going to learn about smicha ceremonies. Shar le'hacha, they sang to him like this. Lokhal, it's so interesting, they use imagery of women in makeup, okay? Lokhal v'lo strak v'lo pirkus. Okay, no eyeshadow, no rouge, no, what's the pirkus, the... forget, there were some different examples. Right, no hairdo, fancy hairdo, v'yalat chen, and yet he was such beautiful, radiant grace. Okay, that's what they said about him. Ki samchuhu l'Rebbe Ami, l'Rebbe Asi, sharu le'hachi, they sang like this, kol mindein smochu. Anyone like this or anyone like this should get smicha, smuchulana to them. Lotis mechulana, but you shouldn't give smicha to mas... Miss, let's see if I can pronounce these words. Misar mitin, velo misar misin, v'amr le lo machamisin, velo mitor misin. Okay, what all these words mean, there's a debate about them, okay? But I'll give you some basic, okay? Misar mitin is like smartut, like the rags, okay? Not anyone who's like the rags. Misar misin is to distort. Machamisin from Hamas, robbers, and Tormisin, there's all different interpretations, but maybe tramplers. The basic point is these are people who don't have knowledge, analytical skills, communication skills, or they have violent or unethical behavior. Okay. Rabbi Avua ki ava atu mimitiv te lebe kesar, nafke matronita debe kesar, when he, here's an interesting story with a matronita, these matronly women of the Romans. So he went to this meeting of the Bey Kesar, this Matronita from the Kesar's family would come out and Misharian Le Rabba De Ime, and she would sing to him, sorry, I read it wrong, Misharian Le, she would sing to him, Rabba De Ime, okay, he's a leader, a great person of his nation, Midabarna Da Umte, he's a leader of his nation, Butsina De Nahora, an illuminating candle, Baruch Matech Lishlam, blessed is your entrance to should be in peace. Okay, your comings should be in peace. Tov. Moving on. Egla Arufa Bishlosha. Tana Rabbanan. So now we're going to have the same kind of debate about Egla Arufa because it was the same thing. There's Machloka, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, 3 or 5. And so, Tana Rabbanan. V'yesus keinecha v'shoftecha. So again, what do you see here? There's keinecha and shoftecha. So you can see where we're going to get Rabbi Yehuda is going to get 5. Kenecha shnayim, shoftecha shnayim, ve'en beitin shakul, mosifin aleim od echad. Harei kan chamisha, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon omer, zekenecha shnayim, ve'en beitin shakul, mosifin aleim od echad, harei kan shlosha. So now we're going to obviously ask, what does he do with v'shoftecha? Rabbi Shimon, hai shoftecha mai avid lei. Hahu mibayilei lemiyuchadin shebishoftecha. Again, it teaches you, you need from the Sanhedrin Agdola, you have to take from there. Okay? V'Rabbi Yehuda, mizikneiz kenecha nafka. Doesn't he, Rabbi Yehuda learns that from, it says miskenecha. It could have said miskene. So it says miskenecha to teach you, it's the zkenim shebiskenecha, right? It's the miyuchadim. You don't need the word shavtecha to do that. Shavtecha can still be free to teach you another two. For Rabbi Shimon, imi zikne. Why didn't he learn it from zkene zkenecha? Because imi zikne hava mina zikne ashuk. It would have just meant regular zkenim. Katav Rahman is kenecha to teach you. It can't be zkene ashuk. It has to be zkene Sanhedrin, but not necessarily from the great Sanhedrin. V'iktiv zkenecha hava mina Sanhedrin ktana. Katav Sanhedrin ktana. Right. And then you would have had zkenecha would have taught you just the Sanhedrin ktana, and therefore katav Rahman v'shoftecha mimiyuchadim shebeshoftecha. So now we basically say from zkene zkenecha, you can't really learn miyuchadim. You can just learn that it's from the Sanhedrin, but it doesn't mean from the Sanhedrin agdola. So, Rabbi Yehuda has to learn now the miyuchadim from a different place. In other words, Rabbi Shimon basically knocked him down. So, Rabbi Yehuda gamar zikne zikne mi v'samchu zikne ha'idat yidehem. Ah, very simple. We just learned it by the samchu zikne ha'ir, or the zikne ha'idat, that it's miyuchadim. So why don't we say there it says kine, and here it says kine. Let's do gzeirah shavah, and we'll learn whatever's true for there is true for here. So that's very simple. So he says we learn that you need miyuchadin from skene is kine. We have some chuzik ne'edat yidehem. Malahala miyuchadim shabayda. Afka miyuchadim shabizeknecha. So then they say, well, if that's the case, yalef leilav kule mehatam. Well, if you're going to learn the miyuchadim from the smichat skinim, then why don't you learn also the everything that you need five, right? In other words, let's just say, Gzeirah Shavah, we learn all the halachot, which means you don't need the word Vishavtecha to teach you an extra two, because you already learned it from the Gzeirah Shavah. So basically, so then you, why would you need this Kenecha and the Shavtecha? It would have been enough to just say Zikne, right? Just like it says Zikne there. So therefore, they knock that out. Ella, where does he really learn it from? Vav de Vishavtecha leminyana. The Vav of Vishavtecha comes to teach you that you need the special people, the miyuchadim. Rabbi Shimon, what about Rabbi Shimon? Then why doesn't he learn it from there? Very simply, Vav lo darish. He doesn't darshan Vavs. Okay? Doesn't think that's enough. Ella me'ata, now they say, according to both of them, there's other words in the Pasuk that you can learn extra judges. V'yatzu shnayim u'madidu shnayim. Right, the Rabbi Yehuda Hare Tisha and the Rabbi Shimon Shiva. They should add another four from the words V'yatzu Madidu. If you're going to learn it from Zkenecha Shavtecha, you can learn it from also. Right, last time we learned it from Visamchu, the verb. Learn it from here also. It's plural, so each one is two. So what are the answer? No, those words are needed for something else. I umabayle lechidatanya V'yatzu Hein v'lo shluchan. The Zkenim have to go themselves. They can't send messengers. Umadidu. Even if it's totally obvious which city is the closest city, remember what happens with Egla Rufa. Somebody dies in between two cities. We don't know which city is responsible. So what do we say? We measure which is the closest city. Let's say it's obvious one city is closer. Still, you have to take people from the Sanhedrin Agdola, bring them out there, have them measure, and you have to do that. Now, why? What's the obvious reason why you have to do this? So that we're assuming that if they go out and do it, then maybe people will see, and then maybe somebody knows something. The whole idea is we don't know who killed this person. Maybe one of the witnesses will come forward. It will become very public. And once it becomes very public, everyone will know, and then maybe people will come forward, and then we can find out really who killed this person and who's responsible. Now they're going to tell you that, by the way, there's another opinion that the Mishnah didn't mention. Matnitin de Loki Haitana, de Tanya, there's another Tana who doesn't match either opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Amir v'yatzuz kenecha v'shoftecha, kenecha zos Sanhedrin, v'shoftecha ze melech v'kohen gadol. Okay, he says you need the Sanhedrin and the melech and the kohen gadol to go. Melech dichtiv, melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, kohen gadol dichtiv u'bata l'kohanim v'alevim ve'ela shofet. They're showing in both those psukim that melech is connected with shofet, and so is the kohen. Ibai elehu. So now they want to know, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov b'chad apalik or b'tarte palik? Is he cholek on one thing or two things? Is he saying b'melech b'kohen gadol palik, aval b'sanedre Ika Rabbi Yehuda, Ika Rabbi Shimon. In other words, he's saying that Sanhedrin, it's either five or seven. It's either three or five, just like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. It's just that you need to add the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. Or when he says Sanhedrin, does he also mean Odilma b'Sanhedrin nami pali da'amar kula Sanhedrin be'inan? Maybe he says that you need to bring the entire Sanhedrin out. all 71, and that it's not enough to just do 3 or 5. So is he arguing with them about 2 things or just 1? So I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. Let's learn it from here. This is a source about Zakei Mamre. Zakei Mamre is someone who comes and he teaches a halacha, and then the judges, he disagrees with judges in his city, and they say you're judging things wrong. And then they bring him to the bigger Sanhedrin, and until he finally gets to Sanhedrin Agadol, and the Sanhedrin Agadol, if the Sanhedrin Agadol says you're wrong about the way you're judging or teaching, and then he goes back and he teaches anyway in the old way he did it in the old way, then he gets killed. But there's certain criteria, and one of them we're going to learn right now is that in order to be judged as Zakei Mamre, it's very clear from the Psukim in the Torah there, we'll get to it later in the Masechet, that it has to be in the Lishkata Gazit where the Sanhedrin sits. Okay? That's where, if they rule against him and say, you're wrong and you can't go teach that way, but they weren't sitting physically in the Sanhedrin building in the Lishkata Gazit, he doesn't get killed. So Tashma, Mitzaana Beit Pagi, if they found him in Beit Pagi, okay, there's a debate exactly where this is, I don't want to go into it, but they found him in this place, meaning the Sanhedrin was there, and they told him, you're wrong, but they weren't in the Lishkata Gazit. Vihimra Alehen, and he rebels against them and teaches what he wants anyway. Yacholte Amra To Amra, you might have thought it's a rebellion, and he gets killed. Tamud Lamar, it says in the Pasuk, Vikamta Valita Elamakom, right, you have to go to the Beit HaMikdash. You learn from here that the physical place is what's kovea. Okay, so now we have to figure out, why is this related to our case? Why did the people in the Sanhedrin leave the Sanhedrin? Like, how could it be the entire Sanhedrin was outside in this Beit Pagi place? Okay, so dinafik kama. How many of the Sanhedrin were sitting there that they discussed? Ilem a miksatan, right? Maybe it was just some of them. Dilma hanach deika gavai kaime kavate. Sorry, how do you read this? Ilema miktatan. Dilma hanach deika gavai kaime kavate. Right. If it was just some of the Sanhedrin who ruled against him, maybe the rest of the Sanhedrin that was still in the Sanhedrin would have agreed with him, in which case, obviously, it's not an issue. So why does the Braita need to tell us it's not an issue because the makom is gohem and not that, right? Obviously, there would be a different reason why he wouldn't be chayav. So that can't be it. Elapshita denafikulu. It must be that the entire Sanhedrin left. So now, right, remember, what was our thing? According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, does the entire Sanhedrin go to do this egla rufa, the measuring, or is it just, right, 3 or 5, or maybe some other number? So Limai, why else would the Sanhedrin have left and been in Beit Pagi? Ilem alidvar rashut, if the entire Sanhedrin just went on a break, right? Okay, let's take a break, let's go together and we'll go somewhere. Mi matzi nafke, they're not allowed to leave the Sanhedrin. Vahaktiv, shrarach agan hasar, al yachsar hamazeg. Okay, this means literally, your navel's like a round goblet where no blended wine is lacking. Okay, now what does this mean? The Sanhedrin is a semicircle. They would sit in a semicircle, and they're saying that they're never lacking like the Yayim Mazug. What's Yayim Mazug? It's the concentrated, right? It's a ratio of 2/3. So you can never have the 2/3 of the Sanhedrin missing at one time. Okay, you always make sure, right? This is like in the Knesset, you have to have a certain number of people in order. What?
A quorum,
exactly. So the quorum is 2/3, in which case you can never have all the Sanhedrin outside. Now, obviously, they go home at night, but at night we're not talking because we already learned. Can't do judgments at night, so clearly we're not talking about night. Elapshita lidvar mitzvah. So the only reason they could have left the Sanhedrin was for dvar mitzvah. Hechidami. So what kind of mitzvah would all the Sanhedrin leave the Sanhedrin for? Lav lemididat egla. Well, must be. They went to measure the egla roof, and there you have that, according to this source, it matches Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion that you'd need the entire Sanhedrin to measure the agala for the egla roof. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, okay, and that would match. Damar kule Sanhedrin beinan, and that would answer our question. But Amar le Abaye, lo, you don't have to say that. You could say very simply, go back to our Mishnah. There were other things that the Sanhedrin had to do that clearly necessitated them to leave the Sanhedrin. Kigon shiatzu lahosif ala irva ala azarot. Right, they didn't just sit there in the court and decide about expanding the boundaries of Yerushalayim. They would go to the makom and figure out how to do it. Right, they would leave their lishkata gazit. So that's why they were there, not for that reason. Kiditznan emosifin al irvala zarot ela bebeitin shel 71. Okay, now whether you would necessarily need to leave for that is also a good question. Tanya kavate de Rav Yosef. Now we go back to the first opinion that said it must have been they all left for egla rufa. Here's a braita that supports it. Mitzana abe pagi, same kind of Breita, v'imra lehen, and then he rebels against them. Kigon sheyatzu. Ah, now here it tells you. Kigon, why were they in Beit Pagi? Sheyatzu lemedidat egla ulo sifa leirva lazarot. Right? They say it explicitly, that this is why they went out. So this Breita clearly supports that Rav Lezer ben Yaakov thought that the entire Sanhedrin needed to measure for the egla rufa. So again, the Breita continues, yecholte hamarato amra. You might have thought it was a good... that his rebellion would be a rebellion. Talmud Lamar, again, it says in the Pasuk, Kam tavalita alamakom, melameh shamakom gohem. Okay. Two more little sections. Neta rivai, we're going to deal with. Umaser sheni she'ein damav yiduim b'shlosha. Remember, if you have crops from the fourth year of your tree, fruits from your tree, you can't eat them in the fourth year, but you can eat, sorry, you can eat them. You can't eat them the first 3 years, that's Orla. The fourth year, you can eat them, but you have to eat them in Yerushalayim, and then you would generally do Pidyon. And Maser Sheni, same thing, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, so they would put it onto coins. But if Ein Damav Yiduim, that's B'Shlosha. So Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Maser Sheni She'ein Damav Yiduim, why wouldn't you know the value of the fruits? Number one, Perotir Kivu, they rotted already. The yayin, and you don't know what they were valued at when you took them. The yayin shi cream, wine that went bad, it kind of developed a film at the top. Uma'ochechlidu, or you had coins from Master Shani, but then they rusted, and then they're no longer worth the same amount. Tana Rabbanan, Master Shani she'en damav yiduim, podino to b'shlosha lekuchot. So now how do you do this? You use three buyers. Okay, some people say that this means three people who actually want to purchase it right now, and then because you have three people arguing over the price, you'll end up with an average of what the price is. Some people say it's three people who specialize in prices. They know pricing. They're not actually trying to buy them, they just know the pricing. Aval lo b'shlosha she'en lekuchot, but you can't use people who don't either aren't interested in buying or don't know prices. Afilu nochri achad mehen. Interestingly enough, you can use a nochri as one of the three, a non-Jew. Afilu achad mehen ba'alim. And even if one of them is the owner of the fruits who's trying to redeem them, he can also have a say in the discussion of what they're valued at. By Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya asks now, Shloshal Matilin, right? He's always the Nunniki one. What if Shloshal Matilin the Toch Kisachad? What if these three people all are partners? Meaning that their money interests are the same. It's not like three people arguing over prices, but their money interests are all the same. Mahu. So Tashma, let's learn it from here. Ish ushtei nashav podim maser sheni shein damav yiduin. Here it's interesting. They even allow women to be part of the discussion. So a man and two of his wives are all allowed to be maser sheni. And obviously their money's all together because women didn't have their own money. So now the Gemara says, no. Dilma, you can't necessarily learn from there. Kigon rapapa ubat abasura'a. Rav Papa was married to the daughter of Abba Surah, and she apparently was financially independent. And there, here you see examples of women who are financially independent, and therefore it doesn't necessarily mean that they were shutafim, and therefore it doesn't really answer Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. And as usual with Rabbi Yirmiyah's questions, we don't have an answer. Okay, ha-hekdesho b'shlosha, matnitin, okay, so you have to do hekdesh b'shlosha if you remember. Shlosha for metaltalin, and if it's karka, you need nine in a kohen, because if you recall, the Kohen word appears there 10 times in the section, and then we said, emiuta harmiuta, right? If you have something right after the other, it means lema'et, sorry, emriboy achariboy ela lema'et. It means we need one, but after that, all of them are to tell you, you need nine more, but they don't have to be kohenim. So, matznitin deloki haitan, and now we're going to say again, this is interesting in terms of historically, the Mishnah is also not like Titania, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, blah, blah, blah. So before I go on, and as I just want to show you, they're showing that all different sections of our mission don't match Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov's opinion. In other words, he had a whole different shita than the Mishnah mentioned. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he put together the Mishnah, clearly left him out, okay, for whatever reason. But now the Gemara is bringing him back and saying, by the way, know that there's another shita that was excluded in a number of cases here. What did he say? Afilut sinora shel hekdesh tzricha sarah b'nei adam liftota. Even if you're magdish, a fork, okay, or like a, it might not be just a regular fork, it could be a fork they use for the korbanot, or just maybe even a regular fork, any sort of metaltalin that you dedicate to the Beit HaMikdash, and you want to value what's the value of it, you need 10 people. And the Mishnah said only 3. Amar le Rav Papa Labai, Bishlam ala Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, Damar k'Shmuel. He must hold like Shmuel, and therefore he makes sense. Damar Shmuel, asara kohanim k'tuvim b'parsha. And he just understands, well, there's 10 places Kohen is mentioned, and therefore, any kind of hekdesh evaluation, you need 10. Okay? And basically, before we move on, I want to just chart out. The first three are mentioned in response to in relation to Erchin, right? When you do the value of what you say, the person, I'm putting the person as Hekdesh. The next three have to do with an animal, okay? And then there's four that have to do with Karka. So that's going to lead us to the end section here of the Gemara for today. So then they say, Ela l'Rabbanan, but Rabbanan's going to be problematic. Shlosha menale, lehu. Where do they get to three? V'chitem adichtiv behu shlosha. Maybe you say, ah. Now, remember, we don't always say behemah is like metaltalin, but the only thing that's close enough to metaltalin is behemah. Say, maybe you'd say, because by behemah, it's mentioned three mentions. But if that's the case, then what would you say? Karka, o dichtiv behu arba'ah, tiske ba'arba'ah. Well, Kohen is mentioned four times in the Karka section, so why don't you say then, if you're going to say that, that metaltalin is like behemah, where it's mentioned three times, then Karka is like mentioned four times, so Karka should be four. Only four Kohenim. V'chite mahachanavi, and if you want to say, maybe really that is the case, the Karka is before, alamatnan akarka otisha v'kohen, right? It says explicitly. And Ella, so why don't you suggest another thing? My dimishalma behu asarah hekdeshot. If you want to say, well, the karka is the last thing, so it finishes off and it ends 10 mentions of the word Kohen. But then you would say also, right, de mishalme buhushita libau shita. But then hekdesh behema, which is metaltalin in our case, finishes six mentions, right? It's the end of six, because three of Erechim were mentioned first, and then those. So then you should need six. You would say, oh, well, up to and including. So up until here, there have been six, so it should be six. And up to there, it should be 10. So therefore, they end with kashya. Okay, that's what we'll end today. With the difficulty, they don't really understand where they get that hekdeshot is b'shloshim.